Chapter 4, Appendix, Direct Control and Objective Links. As noted above, the material here was originally intended to appear in footnote 14 above. Due to its length, I include this material in this appendix. In the text above, I noted that first use is not the ultimate test for the objective link in the case of body ownership, but that rather it is a person's direct and immediate control over his body. See also on this Rothbard, who argues in favor of self-ownership because the only logical alternatives are, quote, one, the communist one of universal and equal other ownership, or two, partial ownership of one group by another, a system of rule by one class over another, end quote. However, alternative two cannot be universal, as it is partial and arbitrary, and alternative one either breaks down in practice and reduces to alternative two, or, if actually implemented, would result in the death of the human race. As Rothbard writes, quote, can we picture a world in which no man is free to take any action whatsoever without prior approval by everyone else in society? Clearly, no man would be able to do anything, and the human race would quickly perish. But if a world of zero or near zero self-ownership spells death for the human race, then any steps in that direction also contravene the law of what is best for man and his life on earth. End of Rothbard quote. Hoppe also writes on this, quote, if a person A were not the owner of his own body, and the places and goods originally appropriated and or produced with this body, as well as of the goods voluntarily, contractually acquired from another previous owner, then only two alternatives exist. Either another person, B, must be recognized as the owner of A's body, as well as the places and goods appropriated, produced, or acquired by A, or else all persons, A and B, must be considered equal co-owners of all bodies, places, and goods. In the first case, A would be reduced to the rank of B's slave and object of exploitation. Such a ruling must be discarded, as a human ethic equally applicable to everyone qua human being, rational animal. From the very outset, any such ruling can be recognized as not universally acceptable and thus cannot claim to represent law. For a rule to aspire to the rank of a law, a just rule, it is necessary that such a rule apply equally and universally to everyone. Alternatively, in the second case of universal and equal co-ownership, the requirement of equal law for everyone is fulfilled. However, this alternative suffers from another, even more severe deficiency, for if it were applied, all of mankind would instantly perish. And since every human ethic must permit the survival of mankind, this alternative must be rejected. This insight into the praxeological impossibility of, quote, universal communism, end quote, as Rothbard referred to this proposal, brings us immediately to an alternative way of demonstrating the idea of original appropriation and private property as the only correct solution to the problem of social order. End of Hoppe quote. And in another work, Hoppe adds, quote, what is wrong with this idea of dropping the prior-later distinction as morally irrelevant? First, if the latecomers, i.e. those who did not, in fact, do something with some scarce goods, had indeed as much of a right to them as the firstcomers, i.e. those who did do something with the scarce goods, then literally no one would be allowed to do anything with anything, as one would have to have all of the latecomers' consent prior to doing whatever one wanted to do. Indeed, as posterity would include one's children's children, people, that is, who come so late that one could never possibly ask them, advocating a legal system that does not make use of the prior-later distinction as part of its underlying property theory, is simply absurd in that it implies advocating death, but must presuppose life to advocate anything. Neither we, our forefathers, nor our progeny could, do, or will survive and say or argue anything if one were to follow this rule. In order for any person, past, present, or future, to argue anything, it must be possible to survive now. Nobody can wait and suspend acting until everyone of an indeterminate class of latecomers happens to appear and agree to what one wants to do. Rather, insofar as a person finds himself alone, he must be able to act, to use, produce, consume goods straight away, prior to any agreement with people who are simply not around yet, and perhaps never will be. End of Hoppe quote. Marxist philosopher G.A. Cohen acknowledges, quote, people can do virtually nothing without using parts of the external world. If then they require the leave of the community to use it, then, effectively, they do not own themselves, since they can do nothing without communal authorization. End of Cohen quote. Regarding this remark by Cohen, libertarian philosopher Jan Narveson comments, quote, it is testimony to the strength of our position that even someone so ideologically opposed gives it clear recognition as an argument that must be confronted, end quote. John Locke also rejected the idea that people can only use unowned resources by getting the consent of everyone else as absurd, quote, by making an explicit consent of every commoner, necessary to anyone's appropriating to himself any part of what is given in common, children or servants could not cut the meat which their father or master had provided for them in common without assigning to every one his peculiar part. End of Locke quote. For a point related to those mentioned above, see Hoppe in the foreword, quote, it is clear what a human ethic or a theory of justice worth its salt must accomplish. It must give an answer to the question of what am I and what is every other person permitted or not permitted to do right now and right here, wherever a person may find himself and whatever his external surroundings of men and materials may be. End of Hoppe quote.